Good morning. Welcome to the October meeting of the New York State Racing and Wagering Board. Chairman John Savini present, along with board members Daniel Hogan and Charles Diamond. As per our custom, we will call the meeting to order. Secretary Gail Prompty will call the meeting to order.
Call the meeting order at 11:08.
We will now have our public comment. For any and all who want to rush to the microphone and opine on issues racing, wagering, or gaming. Hearing none, I will ask the Secretary to call the agenda.
Approve the minutes of the board meeting held on September 21st, 2010.
Have a motion to approve the minutes.
Move motion.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Next item.
Items previously approved or deferred by the chair were 69. Any comments? No items previously approved or deferred by the board since the last meeting. Items to be approved, denied, or deferred by the board today, there's 15 items. First item is the Nassau Regional OTB, New Fast Track, LNG Barefoot Peddler in Greenville, New York.
Mr. Lynn.
Yes, Chairman. The Nassau Regional Off-Track Betting Corporation requests the Plan of Operation Amendment to authorize the operation of a fast-track branch at the LNG Barefoot Peddler Incorporated. LNG Barefoot Peddler Incorporated is located at 37 Glen Cove Road in Greenville, New York. Suitability review was conducted on the above-mentioned establishment and the principles, which consisted of a personal history disclosure, financial disclosure form, personal tax returns, credit history, business records, criminal history, and various background checks. No disqualifying information was obtained. LNG Barefoot Peddler was incorporated as an S corporation on October 16, 2008. According to the stock certificates, Eugene Steinbach owns 60% of the shares and Louis Matarazzo owns the remaining 40% of the shares. Staff's review of Eugene Steinbeck and Louis Matarazzo's FD1s and credit histories did not reveal any significant adverse findings. Staff reviewed the 2009 and 2008 tax returns for LNG Barefoot Peddler Incorporated and 3 years, the 2009, 2008, and 2007 individual tax returns for both Eugene Steinbeck and Louis Matarazzo. LNG Barefoot Peddler holds a valid liquor license. A background history check with the State Liquor Authority disclosed no adverse history. A background check with the Division of Lottery disclosed that LNG Barefoot Peddler Incorporated has no adverse history. Staff further reviewed public records that revealed no derogatory information. Staff reviewed payroll records for the LNG Barefoot Peddler, and their employees were checked against the board's licensing database, and there was no derogatory information found. The agreement will be effective for 24 months from the date of approval by the New York State Racing and Wagering Board. Approval is recommended with standard conditions.
Questions or comments? Hearing none, move to approve the Nassau Regional OTB Fast Track at LNG Barefoot Peddler. All those in favor?
Aye.
Next item.
Item two is the Nassau Regional OTB New Fast Track Edison's Ale House, Richbourne Associates Incorporated in Manhasset, New York.
A second Nassau Regional Off-Track Betting Corporation requests a plan of operation amendment to authorize a fast track branch at the Edison's Ale House. Edison's Ale House is located at 550 Flandome Road in Manhasset, New York. Suitability review was conducted on the above-mentioned establishment and the principal, which consisted of a personal history disclosure, financial disclosure form, personal tax returns, credit history, business records, criminal history, and various background checks. No disqualifying information was obtained. Richbourne Associates Incorporated, doing business as the Edison Sale House, was incorporated on June 1st, 1992. According to the stock certificates, Bonnie Bowerly, Steinbeck owns 100% of the shares. Staff reviews of Bonnie Bowerly Steinbeck's FD1 and credit history did not reveal any significant adverse findings. Staff reviewed the 2009, 2008, and 2007 tax returns for Rich Bourne Associates Incorporated doing business as Edison's Ale House and for Bonnie Bowerly Steinbeck. Rich Bourne Associates Incorporated doing business as Edison's Ale House holds a valid liquor license. Background check with the State Liquor Authority disclosed one license violation. That on or before March 16, 2009, the licensee used the trade name Edison's Ale House in connection with the licensed business without permission of the authority first obtained. Ms. Bowerly Steinbeck explained that when they changed the DBA, doing business as, they inadvertently failed to notify the State Liquor Authority, thus causing the violation. Background check with the Division of Lottery disclosed that they do not have a license to operate the New York State Lottery. Staff further reviewed public records that revealed no derogatory information. Staff reviewed payroll records for Rich Bourne Associates Incorporated doing business as Edison Ale House, and their employees were checked against the board's licensing database, and there was no derogatory information found. The agreement will be effective for 24 months from the date of approval by the New York State Racing and Wagering Board. Approval is recommended with standard conditions.
The only question that came up after a second review of this to me, that there is a husband and wife relationship between the prior item and the principal of this item.
That's correct.
And also the husband's got another fast track application in too, Pat? Didn't see that.
I think it's just the first one that was just appointed.
Isn't that correct?
He's the husband has the first one.
The second last page, we have the wife has the second one.
Yeah, the husband has the one that was just previously approved, and this okay. one is the wife is the principal.
And
this
we have no prohibition on or limits on the loan ownership?
No.
Whatsoever, that you might know. Okay. Any questions, comments? Hearing none, we'll move the item Nassau Regional OTB Fast Track at Edison's Ale House. All those in favor?
Aye.
Next item.
Item 3 is Western Regional Off-Track Betting / Potato Downs, new concessionaire at 228 Huntley Road Branch in Phoenix, New York.
Mr. Lynch.
By a letter dated the last day of August of the current year, Michael D. Kane, the Vice President of Operations and Live Racing for Western Off-Track Betting Corporation, has submitted to the board for approval a new concessionaire. Nicholas Philip Chappelle of North Syracuse, New York, has signed an agreement with Western Regional Off-Track Betting to be the concessionaire at the Phoenix Branch, which is located at 228 Hunley Road in Phoenix, New York. Staff of the board conducted a limited suitability review, which consisted of reviewing Mr. Chappelle's personal history disclosure form, credit history, fingerprints, public records search, and a general review of the concessionaire agreement. A review of this agreement revealed no derogatory information. Approval is recommended.
Questions or comments on a concessionaire for Phoenix?
I was just wondering how this young man just graduated in May from Des Moines. No previous employment history. And now he's a concessionaire. Sorry, I didn't see that.
Is this a replacement concessionaire?
It is. What's that?
It's a replacement concessionaire, so in all likelihood, there's not much in the way of startup cost here.
So just some of the new people just walk in and they see that?
That's my understanding, yes.
And it's just a stand? It's... Okay. I mean, nothing came up with it as far as I knew, but that just kind of struck me as... It's a great country where you get your citizenship certificate 5 months out of school, you got your own business.
It's my understanding. It's not
a
like
spot on the economy, national economy. Okay, I say yes.
Well, it's perhaps an indication of the economy that the individual graduated from college and is now going to operate a small concession stand.
Job.
So we all, as one of you gentlemen just said, we all have to start somewhere.
Any other questions or comments on the concessionaire for Huntley Road Branch on the Western OTB in beautiful downtown Phoenix, New York? Hearing none, we'll move the item. All those in favor?
Aye.
Next item.
Item 4 is Suffolk Regional OTB request to amend account wagering rules.
We'll now hear from our Audits and Investigations Chief, Mr. Casarazzola.
Thank you, Chairman. This request from Suffolk OTB is to modify their plan of operation for their internet account wagering plan of operation that was recently approved by the board this year, earlier in March, March 25th, in fact. Suffolk is requesting to amend their plan of operation to state or to add the following. Account holders who maintain a 300 minimum account balance at the time of wager receive surcharge free. What they wish to do is remove that and allow surcharge-free wagering for all internet wagers. So this is a technical amendment and consistent with other internet wagering plan of operations that other off-track betting corporations have, such as Nassau Capital and Catskill. Staff recommends approval of this request.
Questions or comments?
Consumer.
All right. Hearing none, all the question of Suffolk Regional OTB's request to amend their account wagering rules. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Next item. Next two items are sort of a couple of entries in effect. Mr. Casarazzola.
Thank you. The first item is the additional payments for 2009 to regional tracks under Section 1017-2B from the off-track betting corporations. And the following item is the 2009 maintenance of effort payments to regional tracks under Section 1017-2A from the regional off-track betting corporations. The Section 2B schedules have been submitted by all the off-track betting corporations. Staff has reviewed them. This count has the sheets account are attached to the item presented to you. Essentially, the 2B provision reads as follows. During each calendar year, to the extent and at such time the event, the aggregate statewide wagering handle after 7:30 p.m. on out-of-state and out-of-country thoroughbred races exceeds $100 million, each off-track betting corporation conducting such simulcasting shall pay to its regional harness track or tracks an amount equal to 2% of its proportionate share of such excess handle. As I said, the schedules have been received from each OTB, with the exception of Western, as Western does not offer nighttime thoroughbred wagering. Staff recommends that the board direct the OTBs to make payments listed in the memo above to their regional tracks, their respective regional tracks, based on the attached calculations. The payments should be divided between each regional OTB tracks in accordance with the following language contained in Section 17-2B. In any region where there are two or more regional harness tracks, such 2% shall be divided between or among the tracks in a proportion equal to the proportionate of handle on live racing conducted at such tracks during the preceding year. This is consistent with previous schedules from previous years that the board has approved, and staff recommends that they be directed to make such payments for the 2B. The Section 2A payments are essentially the same, in fact, exactly the same calculations as previous schedules from previous years that have been presented to the board. Staff has reviewed the schedules that were submitted by each of the off-track betting corporations, again with the exception of Western, and has the calculations attached for each of the regional off-track betting corporations. Staff recommends that the board approve these schedules in accordance with Section 1017-2A.
For purposes of discussion, we'll take both of them and we'll vote separately to keep it legal. Any questions or comments on the payment schedules for 1017-2A and 2B? Pretty matter of fact. Stop. Hearing no questions or comments, we'll call the question on Agenda Item 5, which is the Section 1017-2B payments. All those Mr. Price, you want
to? Yes, thank you. Just to clarify.
With comment.
The staff recommendation is, or at least it's my office's recommendation, that the board require payment to be made no later than 30 days from the date of the board's written determination in the matter.
Okay.
This will be consistent with prior adjudicatory action of the board in relation to the 1017 payments.
Questions or comments? We'll call the 1017 2B item, which is item 5. All those in favor?
Aye.
Item 6, which is the 1017 2A schedule. All those in favor?
Aye.
Approved. Next item.
Item 7 is the Buffalo Raceway request to withdraw $26,500 from the Capital Improvement Fund.
Okay, Mr. Castrogiola.
Thank you. By application dated October 1st, 2010, Buffalo Raceway requested to approve said amount from the Capital Improvement Fund for reimbursement of a cat grader that they purchased for maintenance of the track surface. This item was included in their 2009 budget. Staff reviewed the copies of vendor invoices and canceled checks and found the item to be properly supported. Staff also contacted the presiding judge, who indicated he knew of no physical problems or health or safety issues that would preclude reimbursement of this request. The item has been inspected and photographed. There's currently approximately a little over $26,600 in the Capital Improvement Fund, Buffalo Raceway, as of August 31st. Staff recommends approval of this request.
And I trust the photo of the grader is under the lock and key and secure.
Yes.
New grader,
I believe it was a used grader that was purchased.
It was $32,500, so they're going to, there's balance, they requested $26,500, so there's balance $6,000 that they will come back and request from us when the fund is replenished.
Yeah, usually what they're only requesting the 26.5 because that's all that's available in their account. Buffalo Raceway historically has made one SIF request per year to use the money that they accumulate annually. So they'll either request the additional amount on this or do another request.
Buffalo does it kind of uniquely.
Yeah.
Other questions or comments? Hearing none, I'll call the item on the Buffalo Raceway SIF withdrawal. All those in favor?
Aye.
All right. Next item.
Item 8 is Suffolk Regional OTB appointment of a new vice president, Mr. Anthony Pansella.
Mr. Lynch.
Staff has performed a limited suitability review of Anthony Pansella relative to his appointment to become vice president of Suffolk OTB. Suffolk's general counsel, James McManaman, advised staff that Mr. Pansella began working for Suffolk OTB on August 16th of the current year in a non-executive role and will assume the office of vice president subsequent to board approval. Suitability review was limited to the review of the following: public records, credit history report, personal history disclosure form, and a check of his fingerprint records. Review of the above did not reveal any potential disqualifying information for Anthony Pansella.
Questions or comments?
I just want to make sure that when we ask for the additional information on the 14th about the fact that he's already on the payroll and these duties that are described by in his handling of that license duties, so we're okay with that.
There's a memo attached
from Jim Pella.
Yes, addressing that.
So we're all good with that.
Okay. Call a question then on the Suffolk Regional OTB appointment of Vice President Anthony Pansella III. All those in favor?
Aye.
Next item.
Item 9 is Nassau Regional OTB appointment of a new controller, Michelle Allison Schiavone.
Mr. Lynch.
By letter dated September 28th of the current year, Douglas C. Diana, Vice President of Corporate Affairs, Finance, and Administration at the Nassau Downs Off-Track Betting Corporation, informs the New York State Racing and Wagering Board of the hiring of a new controller for Nassau Regional Off-Track Betting. The new hire is Michelle Allison Schiavone as the controller for Nassau OTB. Ms. Schiavone was named by resolution passed by the Nassau Regional Off-Track Betting Board of Directors on September 28th of 2010. The suitability review dated October 14th of 2010 was limited to a review of the following: public records, credit history report, personal history disclosure form, and a check of her fingerprint records. Review of the above, with the exception of the federal and state print returns, have not revealed any potential disqualifying information for Michelle Allison Schiavone. Both the FBI and the DCJS print returns are due back in a short period of time and are needed to fully approve Ms. Schiavone as the Nassau OTB controller. Approval is recommended of the amendment to the plan of operation to reflect the appointment of Ms. Schiavone to be effective upon staff notification to the board of receiving satisfactory results of the outstanding print returns from DCJS and FBI.
And as to Mr. Hogan's earlier question, there's an email attached to the packets that outlined a colloquy between her and Mr. Kellogg about her current duties as to their non-conflict with what she's about to be appointed to. Questions or comments?
That's going to be a standard part of our package from now on, right?
Yes, I think it's necessary. Good idea. And since I haven't said it was year, it's October, she likes snow white, someday her prints will come. Call the question on Michelle Schiavone as the controller of Nassau Regional OTV. All those in favor? Aye. Next item.
Item 10 is a proposed rulemaking, TCO 2 rule.
Can we bring in a snare drum so we get rear shots?
Proposed rulemaking on TCO 2. Is Goodell going to address this for you?
With your permission, I'll lay it out, and if the board has any questions for Mr. Goodell.
Mr. Firestein.
Thank you. This is the first of two proposed rules to appear before the board this morning, both in the nature of equine drug testing. As the board is aware, the board's TCO2 rule is an active rule, as indicated by the many adjudicatory matters that come before the board. In the course of the staff and the board's experience with the TCO2 rule, it's been perceived that by both the staff, the board, and likely the industry, that there's a need for certain adjustments to be made in the rule as the result of our collective experience. In order to do that, and in part to address matters which arose in relation to litigation, there are suggested amendments before the board today for a proposal which, if proposed by the board, will then go to the Governor's Office of Regulatory Reform for review and processing, and once that process is complete, will be proposed as a rulemaking in the State Register with a 45-day comment period, and then will eventually come back to the board. These rule changes relate to the need to address the subject of horses that are subject to detention because of testing positive for excess TO2. These rules, as outlined in Mr. Goodell's memo, will provide for an unwitting buyer to have the ability to void the purchase for within 10 days after learning about the pre-race detention order. Previously, the board had promulgated an emergency rule to address this originally unanticipated problem. For horses subject to detention because owners have left them with a trainer who incurred a second positive in 12 months, the rule will eliminate the detention requirement when a horse is sold and reapply that requirement, however, to any replacement horse acquired. There are also amendments which are enumerated addressing the amount, if you will, of TCO2 for Lasix horses, changes to the length of quarantine, a formal process for prearranged split samples, the need for a clearance to end the 6-month pre-race detention, a reduction in detention period for owners from 8 to 4 months, and the safe harbor provision that I mentioned. These changes would be made both to the harness and the thoroughbred rules, although most of the activity with regard to TCO2 has been in harness racing. I should add that there was pre-proposal solicitation of comment from the industry.
How many members have that in memo form? Questions or comments on the TCO2 rulemaking? We'll note for the record, since they're here, that Saratoga Harness would submit comments. Hearing no further comments, I'll call the question on TCO2 rule. All those in favor?
Aye.
Next item.
Proposed rulemaking, anabolic steroid rule.
Firestein.
Thank you. This is a proposed change to the board's existing anabolic steroid rule. As the board is aware, when the original rule was added to ban anabolic steroids or to provide for permissive use of anabolic steroids at certain therapeutic levels, the thresholds that were then available were applicable to urine samples. Research was then ongoing with regard to acceptable plasma threshold levels, and that research has now reached a point, if not concluded, with regard to appropriate plasma levels. This information has, of course, been provided to us by Dr. Malin of the board's equine drug testing program. So what's happening here with regard to this proposal that's presented for the board's consideration is an adjustment to the rule to provide for standards to reflect use or testing in the plasma rather than in the urine. In addition to that, there still will be urine available standards. This proposal was submitted to the industry for comment. There is one change in this proposal that's different from what was sent to the industry, and that's a technical change which I'll defer to Mr. Goodell to explain, but I think you have it in memo form. It had to do with the hydroxystanozole level. There's a difference between the parent drug and the metabolite, which is tested in the blood and which is tested in the urine. So it's a technical change, but it's...
it's pointed out the change needed to be made.
Dr. Malin. Yeah.
The change was that it's the parent drug that is measured with the plasma threshold in stenosinol rather than the metabolite. So this corrects it to make it clear that the metabolite testing is only in the urine sample. The plasma doesn't matter.
What this does is brings us up to scientific speed on what we've done a year in change rate. Questions or comments on anabolic steroid? Hearing none, let's move the question. All those in favor?
Aye.
Next item.
Item 12 in the matter of pre-race detention of Steuben M.
Mr. Firestein.
This is the first of the licensing adjudicatory matters before the board. This results from an appeal by owner John Liddy of an order issued pursuant to Board Rule 4120.14A. That ruling required the horse Steuben N to undergo 6 months of pre-race detention as a result of a finding in March of 2010 of an excessive pre-race TCO2 level. There was a hearing scheduled and held before Mr. Parente as the designated hearing officer. The appellant failed to appear. The board has before it the report of the hearing officer as well as the record. The hearing officer recommends that the board uphold the order that was appealed from.
No, sure, you got to go. Any questions or comments? Hearing none, all those in favor of the determination of the hearing officer on the pre-race detention of Stu Bennett N.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Next item.
Item 13 in the matter of Garth and Cunnington.
Mr. Firestone.
Thank you. This matter involves the post-summary suspension hearing accorded to board groom licensee Garth Pennington. A summary suspension had been issued back in July of this year based upon the report of a positive test for marijuana and a sample collected on the grounds of a licensed track. In June of this year, this was in violation of Board Rule 4119.11. The hearing was held before Mr. Parente as the designated hearing officer. Neither Mr. Pennington nor his attorney appeared. The attorney indicated that Mr. Pennington did not contest the charges, although there was no formal appearance at the hearing. The hearing officer submitted the report, which you have before you with the record, and it's recommended that the board uphold the summary suspension, revoke Mr. Pennington's license, and not permit Mr. Pennington to obtain a license, and only then with appropriate conditions, until at least 3 months following proof of satisfactory completion of treatment for substance abuse.
All those in favor of following the hearing officer's determination on the Pennington matter?
Aye.
Aye. Next item.
Item 14 in the matter of pre-race detention of 5 horses trained by Joseph Garino pursuant to Rule 4120.14B multiple TCO2s.
Thank you. The board will note that it has before it a hearing officer report and a supplemental report of the hearing officer. This is because the matter was previously before the board, however, was deferred because there was one appellant who had asked for an adjournment and had not yet received a hearing. To summarize, this is an appeal from the Yonkers Raceway presiding judge's order directing horses trained by Joseph Guarino to be subject to 8 months of pre-race detention pursuant to board rule because the horses involved were trained on January 14th of this year when Mr. Guarino incurred a second violation of the board's TCO2 rule within a 12-month period. Ultimately, even with the rescheduled hearing, based on the adjournment request of Alexander Cantonist, none of the appellants actually appeared for this hearing. As a result, there's a default on behalf of all. Mr. Ferranti submitted the report and supplemental report, which I mentioned, in which he ratifies his original report and confirms his original recommendation to make it applicable to all. And the recommendation of the hearing officer is that the pre-race detention order be upheld.
Questions or comments on the pre-race detention of the Guarino horses? None. All those in favor of upholding the decision of the hearing officer?
Aye.
Next item.
Item 15 is Saratoga Harness Peace Officers.
Thank you. As the board is aware, Section 312 of the Racing Prior Mutual Wagering and Breeding Law provides authorization for officers and directors of a New York Racing Corporation to appoint special policemen who, when appointed, shall be peace officers. This requires the approval of the Racing and Wagering Board in order for those special policemen, i.e. peace officers, to exercise their powers on and about the grounds of a licensed New York track. In the particular matter you have before you, Saratoga Harness Racing Incorporated has appointed and request the board's endorsement or approval of those appointments of 2 additional special policemen, Edward F. Moore and Warren G. Wildy. And you have before you the appropriate memo and the background check. There was no disqualifying information or information of concern that was revealed in the course of the background investigation. Accordingly, it's recommended that the board approve these individual appointments and that Saratoga Raceway be required to notify the board within 48 hours in the event of the termination of employment of any approved special policeman.
Questions or comments on the Saratoga Peace Officers? Hearing none. All those in favor?
Aye.
We have five items for board information and discussion. Questions on those?
Nope.
I will adjourn the meeting.
Before you do, either Messrs. Firestein or Cassarola, I want to just announce for those who don't know about our meeting next week regarding the OPB.
Next Thursday at Wednesday, thank you, at a time which I no longer recall. 1 o'clock, thank you. Next Wednesday at 1 o'clock, the board will be convening a meeting at which it will receive comments from the industry with regard to the question of when so-called indirect commission payments must be paid by off-track betting corporations. This is supplemental to the board's request for written comments, which were solicited from the industry as a result of the bankruptcy court's direction to New York City OTB to request the board to make a determination on this state law issue. Obviously, this results from the New York City OTB bankruptcy filing.
Okay. Well, we did a lot of different things today, and wish everyone a happy Breeders' Cup.
We'll adjourn the meeting then at 11:40.
Thank you.